This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Everybody, welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast talking all things Washington Capitals, NHL hockey, international hockey. We can't get enough puck here. Thank you for joining What the Puck. Of course, you can listen to the show on iTunes and Stitcher. Enjoy your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. Joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. The Capitals seem to be doing pretty well. Came out last week. They had a big signing last week for the Capitals, where a lot of people were actually counting on this signing going down. So tell me all about it, man. What did they do?
Well, the Caps went out and signed free agent center Mikhail Grabowski to a one-year, $3 million deal. He was recently bought out by Toronto and had some choice words for their coach after he was bought out by them. I know there's some people that are concerned about his attitude coming in, but I actually think this is a really good signing for the Caps. He's exactly what they needed after they lost Ribeiro. I know McPhee came out and said that Brooks Laich was going to be their second-line center next season, and he was fine with that, and he started comparing him to guys like Mike Richards, and everyone went, no. That's not exactly correct, especially if you look at the stats. As much as I like Brooks Laich, and I do think that he's overpaid, but that's not really relevant to what we're talking about right now. But I don't think he's a second-line center. He could play on the wing, but I think Brooks Laich, with his skill set, is better for the third line. I think having Grabowski come in and play on that second line is going to be great. I think, depending on what happens with Marcus Johansson, my guess is that you're going to see Erat to Grabowski. Grabowski's left and Brouwer to his right as a very nice second line. I think between Grabowski's goal scoring and Erat and Brouwer just putting himself in front of the net, I think that's going to be a very solid second line. That, of course, depending on Johansson. I think a lot of people are going to compare and say, oh, well, he's going to be the new Mike Ribeiro. I wouldn't put it that way. Yes, technically, he's going to be filling in for Ribeiro. Not filling in, he's going to be in that spot. But he's more of a goal scorer. I don't think you're going to see him sort of dance with the puck quite as much as Ribeiro did, but I do think he's going to score more goals in the end.
Yeah, I think this is a great signing by George McPhee. I'm very excited to have Grabowski in Washington playing in that second-line center. That was a big hole that was left after last season, and it's kind of been a hole there. Even though a lot of people did love Ribeiro, and I liked what he did last season, a lot of people always felt like that was a giant hole for the Capitals, that they didn't really know what they were going to do with him. But this seems like a good idea, at least for this season. This guy, he stayed out on the free agent market for a good amount of the summer here, and it was apparently he really wanted a big deal. He wanted a long-term deal, and as we know, George McPhee, not a fan of those long-term deals. He just does not enjoy them. He was on Elliott in the Morning a couple weeks ago. It was probably closer to when the trade deadline occurred, and he said the only times he liked to do those long-term deals are for really young guys that are, you know, going to spend their entire 20s in D.C., but he likes the short-term deals because you don't know what's going to happen and in the future. But I think Grabowski signing here kind of for – I don't know if he's going to stay past this 1 year. Depending on how he works out this season, he might. But at the same time, I think the reason why he took this deal was I think he likes Adam Oates. I think that's one of the main reasons why he's coming to Washington, to the Capitals. But the big thing for me is that he wants to show off why he deserves a big deal. I mean, Ribeiro kind of did the same thing, came to D.C. for a year, showed what he could do, and then got that long-term deal that he wanted out in Phoenix. I think Grabowski's going to do the same thing. I think he's going to play hard and show that he's worth the big bucks and that somebody should invest in him like that. If it's not George McPhee, it might be somebody else who needs a second-line center and willing to pay that money. But I think this may not be a love affair with the Capitals for this guy. It may be more of like a showcase of what he can do under the right leadership so he can make the big money the next season. Even though, I mean, I'd be happy with his salary, no doubt, for a year.
Yeah. Well, I think it's going to depend sort of what they do. If they end up keeping Johansson around, then I do think that Grabowski is only going to stick around for 1 year, depending on what his salary wants to be and depending on what they decide to do and where they're going to place Yevgeny Kuznetsov when he comes over, because it certainly looks like that super prospect will be coming over next season, if not at the very end of this season. But I still think there's a chance that Grabowski can stick around if this team decides, because they only have $2.6 million left in cap space, 2.6 and change, technically, in cap space left. And so unless Johansson wants a significant portion less of that, you know, they're going to have a problem fitting in everybody under the cap. So if they re-sign Johansson, they may have to trade somebody else. So while it looks like the roster is set to some extent, there's certainly a lot of different things that could happen. You could see a guy like a Joel Ward get traded, or a Jason Chimera, or a John Erskine, or a Michael Neuwirth. Like, you could see someone get moved out because they need that cap space. Now, you could go and you could sign Johansson and have, like, no cap space left, but then that becomes a problem if you want to go and you want to make moves at the trading deadline, or if you want to bring guys up from the minors, or make a trade at any point during the season. You want to make sure that you have a little bit of cap space left to be able to make those moves. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But I like the Grabowski deal, and I do think that there's a chance, if he plays really well, that he could stick around depending on how much money he wants.
Yeah, that's the big thing. I'm glad you brought this guy up, Evgeny Kuznetsov. I think he is kind of the secret game piece that these guys are kind of thinking about. I think that's why George McPhee wanted that 1 year deal at the second line center, and I think he got a great one with Grabowski. But he seems like he's still waiting for Kuznetsov to come over and to play in the NHL, and all signs, except for a recent article that Russian Machine Never Breaks put out, saying Kuznetsov would think about staying in the KHL if it was a long-term 5-year deal, if they were willing to offer that.
He's not doing it.
Now, I think that's just Russian talk for, I want to go to the NHL, but I still want to be nice to my motherland. But I think I kind of think that's why Grabowski's going to come into the Capitals. He's going to play well. He's going to do well here. He's going to flourish, and people are going to remember why he's such a good player and why he deserves the big bucks and isn't just this guy with a bad attitude, with a bad rap that got bought out. He's an actual talented guy that's going to do well. And I think I don't see him staying past this 1 year because of Kuznetsov. But you never know what will happen in a year. But Kuznetsov, I think, really, besides Johansson and all the money, when you're just looking at stats and players and the team as a whole, I think Kuznetsov is a bigger question mark for George McPhee than Johansson is right now. But Johansson is the business end of the NHL right now, because money controls everything, man. Money controls who goes where and everything, because, like you said, bringing people up from the minors to improve your team, trying to make trades, if somebody were to get injured or something like that, that money is definitely going to be a factor here. So George McPhee and Johansson are going to have to figure out what they're going to do before the season gets started.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. We don't really know how the roster is going to set out, because, you know, there certainly needs to be room if they want to bring up Orlov or something like that, so they may move somebody out. You can't bury guys' contracts in the minors anymore, so there isn't going to be quite the ability to be as creative as they used to be in the past. So I think some of these deals are going to come back to bite McPhee, like signing Erskine. I know you love Erskine. I like Erskine too, but I still think he's getting paid too much money. It's going to come back to hurt them in the end. But I think he made a really good deal in signing Grabowski to only $3 million. He could have made more somewhere else. I think part of the reason he only got that 1 year deal is because of Kuznetsov. And I think, like you said, Grabowski wants to prove himself. So I think it worked out for both teams in the end. I think right now with Grabowski in house, we're going to see what happens with Johansson, because if they end up moving Johansson out, you could see Erat being moved up to the first line left wing, where I would really like to see him play. I'd love to see him on a line with Ovechkin and Backstrom. And then you could see Leick bumped up to the second line, because if you have Grabowski come in and Johansson, where does Leick go? Does Leick go to the third line? So then who's getting bumped out of the third line? Are you moving Chimera back to the fourth? So you'll have Leick, Pearl, and Fair, and then Chimera, Beagle, and Ward. And then what do you do with Tom Wilson? I guess he's going back to the OHL. Will that stunt his growth? So there's still a lot of things that McPhee and his group are going to have to worry about and work with before training camp opens up in September.
Yeah, that's another name you just brought up that I'm kind of concerned about what he's going to do. Tom Wilson, I was very impressed with what I saw at developmental camp from him. I was impressed what he did in the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do with him. I still don't understand. I mean, it's in the past now. We really can't argue about it. But I don't understand that Martin Erat trade. That I think is is going to be.
He's still stuck on it.
I am. Yeah, I don't understand that trade. I don't understand why you would do that, bring that guy in. But I think that might even kind of affect them because with Erat there, I mean, that could be a spot that Johansson could have taken up. He could have been, on that line instead. I mean, I don't know if he just didn't have the faith in Johansson at that time, but Erat still a giant question mark to me of like why he's even here.
I like Erat. I think he's a very good player. I think he had really good offensive numbers for a defensive team in Nashville. And I think if he can stay healthy and not get trucked by Ovechkin, then I think he's going to do well. I think he'll do really well. I think on the first line, he'll be great. I think second line, he'll be very good. He won't have quite the playmakers and Ovechkin and Backstrom play with him. But you put him on a line with Grabowski and Brouwer, I think that's going to be really, really good things are going to happen. I still don't like that they traded Forsberg, but it is what it is. We have to deal with it. We move on. And I like Erat being on this team, and I think it's going to work out well for the Caps in the end.
I hope so. I hope I'm completely wrong about Erat, and I'd like to see what he does with Grabowski. So that new center might help him out a little bit more, and hopefully Erat can stay healthy because that's my biggest concern is the guy just seems so injury-prone. And we already have Mike Green, who's pretty injury-prone on this team. I don't want somebody else.
Don't jinx it!
Somebody else always out of the game. But speaking of games, man, it came out, I guess it was today, that the Capitals released their TV schedule, which I am pumped to hear about. So is there any highlights or anything you think are going to be a big deal this year that you're happy to see?
Well, it's nice. I remember a couple of years ago we used to have things where the Caps wouldn't have all their games on TV, but it looks like every single game will be on TV. Out of their 82 regular season games, 71 of those will be carried by Comcast Sportsnet, and then the other 11 will either be on NBC or the NBC Sports Network. That's a mouthful to say. And it's actually pretty cool. They're going to have two preseason games that they will be showing, one of them being the Baltimore Classic up in your neighborhood against Boston?
Yeah, against the Bruins.
And then they're also going to have the game, I believe, on September 27th against the Philadelphia Flyers. So that'll be kind of cool to see. You get to see, if you're not at the arena, you get to see some of the young guys that are still on the team, or at least still in camp, playing in the Caps jersey.
Yeah, you know what? The preseason is right around the corner. Hockey Shopped over on Facebook. They're turning into Capitals Hill. Make sure to go like those guys. They put out a picture of Ovechkin, and in between his missing teeth, they put 16 days until the first preseason game. So we're super close to hockey, and I'm so excited. I want to see these guys up in Baltimore up against the Bruins. What a preseason. They've got the Bruins playing in Baltimore. They've got the Blackhawks coming to D.C., so you got both Stanley Cup final teams up against the Capitals in this preseason, which is pretty cool.
Dun, dun, dun.
Hopefully, for my own personal sake, ticket prices go down on that Baltimore game just a little bit because trying to get me to go broke, but I would like to go to that game no matter what. So I'm really excited that there's this much hockey on. I'm hoping to get even more of my friends hooked on Capitals hockey because there's so much going on. I'm glad so many are on Comcast Sportsnet because I love Joe B. I love our announced team. I love Alan May. You know, these guys are awesome. I love Craig Laughlin. Great team. Smoking Al Koken. That's who I want to see talking about the Capitals.
I think it'll just be nice to have the games on in the fall. There's no question as to whether we'll be watching hockey this go around, so it'll be nice.
Oh, that's so true. Thank you so much for your stupid lockout. I remember being so excited. I remember like, should I buy those tickets up against the Blue Jackets in the Baltimore Arena? Because it does say something about there being a lockout, a possibility of a lockout. And then
you're like, no, they'll figure it out. They already went through. Oh, no, wait, they're doing it again.
Yeah. So that is a good point. I am glad to have hockey in October. So do we cover everything in Caps World?
Yeah, I think so.
All right, well, we got a little bit of news up in PA. So, hey, let's go up 83 and let's talk some Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. All right, well, you know what? The TV schedule for the Capitals just came out. The Hershey Bears, man, they released a little bit of their promotion schedule, and there's some stuff that we got to highlight real quick. So, Coach Dan, I know you were excited about one of these giveaways. Tell us all about it.
I don't know if I was excited, as I just want to see what it looks like because it's so silly sounding. But on December 21st against the Sharks baby team, it will be the Joel Reklish Bobble Fist Night, which I am so confused as to what that's going to look like. Now, I think I'll be out of town on that game, so I won't be able to go up there and see it. But that's actually kind of funny sounding, and I really want to know what that looks like. And then another one I just noticed actually is pretty cool. I think I noticed this in the past, but there's one night, December 18th, and they probably have a couple more. It's a Hershey Park Pass night, where it looks like you get a one-day admission valid through July 31st, 2014, to go to Hershey Park, which is actually a fantastic amusement park up there in Hershey. So that's actually another pretty cool thing that they have.
Yeah, they have a couple of those. Another one is on Sunday, November 3rd, against the Norfolk Admirals. So that's going to be a cool one. Another one towards the end in April 13th. Up against the Senators. I'm a little excited for Philip Grubauer bobblehead night. That is on January 4th up against the Americans. So there's some cool stuff. They've got, you know, the typical dollar hot dog nights. They've got a rally towel night. Some fun little giveaways, a car magnet, a drawstring backpack. And this is definitely one of the best arenas in the AHL. And Hershey, PA loves their hockey, man. So it's always a good place to go as well. It's a great place to see a game. So not really much going on with the Reading Royals. That's pretty much it for the Bears, right?
Yeah, Reading has been signing a bunch of guys with. These are, you know, the ECHL players, so not a lot of news really coming out. We'll sort of catch up with them once the season starts, see if they can go on that tear like they did last year.
Yeah, you know, those guys, just give them – I would want to see them put their banner up. That's what I would love to see. But let's talk a little bit more hockey here. A lot going on in the NHL, but there's also a lot of stuff going on around the world in international hockey. But we're going to cover it all in this version of Around the NHL. All right, well, here we go. We're going to talk a little bit about what's going on around the NHL. Grabowski coming to the Capitals was big news, a big trade, a big pickup for the Capitals. But there's a lot of other guys that are being picked up recently. So, Coach Dan, what's some of the stuff people are talking about this summer?
Well, I know on the NBC Sports app, they were saying that Grabowski signing was actually one of the biggest moves of the summer. And while it was actually a really good move, I don't know if I would say it was the biggest, I thought this summer's actually been kind of quiet. There weren't as many top-line players that were getting signed, so it wasn't really that exciting of a summer. I thought Vinny LeCavalier going to Philly was pretty big for them, although I don't know how he's going to fit in there necessarily. I thought Detroit was really smart in signing Steven Weiss. I think New Jersey actually did a really good job of picking up Jaromir Jagr after Kovalchuk just up and left. And I actually really like that they signed Ryan Kloh.
And this might be Jagr's final season, though. He's kind of hinting towards that.
Ah, who cares? He's a douchebag anyways. So those are a lot of like the good deals that I liked. I thought a couple of them were not so good deals. I thought Toronto overpaid drastically for David Clarkson. I like Clarkson as a player, but I think Toronto way overpaid for him. I know that Nathan Horton wanted a quieter market, but I think Columbus overspent for him because I don't think Nathan Horton is that kind of guy who's going to turn your team around, and they gave him turn your team around kind of money. And this is not a shot at him because he left, but I do think that Phoenix overpaid for Mike Ribeiro, and when it comes down to the end of his contract, they're going to regret having given him that much money. Those are sort of the big deals that went on during the summer. I'm kind of surprised. I was looking at today on TSN that Damian Brunner, who had 26 points in 44 games last year for Detroit, he still hasn't been signed, I believe. Mason Raymond, formerly the Vancouver Canucks, he had 22 points in 46 games. He hasn't been picked up, although I do expect somebody to offer him a contract at some point. And Brad Boys of the Islanders had 35 points in 48 games. I also, according to TSN, he has not been picked up. So that was kind of surprising to me. I kind of expected some of these guys to get picked up at some point. And Tim Thomas, your boy, also hasn't been picked up, I just noticed. So, you know, some of these guys still out there and are available. Tim Thomas is a crazy person.
What about Brzgalov? Where's Brzgalov at? Is he just still chilling?
He's a whole other level of crazy. Like, that dude's just so far out there.
He's a whole other universe.
Talking about outer space, that's where his head is. That dude is crazy. Sort of the regular NHL news, New Jersey signed Adam Henrik to a new six-year, $24 million deal. It's a great deal for them. I think the kid is going to be the new face of their franchise. Since Parise left, Kovalchuk just up and left, and then when Brodeur's retires in the next year or so, I do think that Henrik is going to be one of the new faces of that franchise. I think the Devils are going through a little bit of a rebuild, but I still think that they are going to be a team that you are not going to want to mess around with. And then Douglas Murray, who was traded from San Jose to Pittsburgh at last year's deadline, signed a one-year deal with Montreal. Now, I don't know if you saw about this, about Roberto Luongo came out saying that he fully expected to be traded, only to find out that he would actually be remaining in the Pacific Northwest. I think actually he may have made a joke, or someone made a joke about the fact, I think it was he said it, that he has actually felt like he was going to pass out at one point when he heard that he had actually was going to be staying in Vancouver, that when he found out that Corey Schneider actually got traded, which I actually thought was a little nuts, but it certainly sounds to me like Luongo was ready to go. Like, he was completely settled with the fact that he was going to be playing somewhere else, and then out of nowhere, they're like, oh, hey, by the way, you're sticking around. But it certainly sounds like Tortorella likes him, and he wants to keep him around. And Tortorella, everywhere he goes, he just lucks out with these good goalies. I mean, it's Hobby Bullen, when Hobby Bullen was actually better in Tampa, and then he had Henrik Lundqvist in New York, and now he's got the old Roberto Luongo, not the crazy one, or the one who doesn't know how to play hockey. And then final news, and this saga is finally over, unfortunately for Canada, but whatever, the Phoenix Coyotes finally have an owner. The Ice Arizona, which I thought that name was kind of funny, but the Ice Arizona Acquisition, a group headed by George Gosby and Anthony LeBlanc, will take over the franchise. The franchise has been owned by the NHL since 2009. So, the first time since then, they'll actually be owned by someone other than Gary Bettman and the other NHL owners. So that'll be nice for Phoenix. It looks like that saga is finally over, and that Canada will have to find a new team to try and steal and bring up to one of their cities. I think Hamilton, or is the newest one, Quebec City. I believe they also want a team coming to them in the near future. That is all of the interesting NHL news that I could find since we last talked.
Yeah, so there's still plenty going on, but it is summertime, so we got to limit our hockey talk to who goes where and who's doing what and who's preparing for this new season. But coming up soon, man, we've got Olympic hockey coming up this February, which last time we talked, we actually did this on the show as well. Hold on, let me bring up this app here. I'll let you know how many days from our recording we are away from the Sochi Olympics, and we are, of this time of this recording, 162 days away from the Sochi Olympics. And a lot of people are prepping for Team Russia. They unveiled their jerseys. They had Alexander Ovechkin, of course, model the jerseys. And I want to talk to you real quick about all these different jerseys we're seeing right now. I do like Russia's main red jersey, but those white jerseys that they're wearing,
that thing's stupid looking.
That is way out there. That I don't understand what that was about, but I don't understand this about all Nike jerseys now. This is the NHL or international hockey, I should say, the Olympics and the NFL. They keep putting this weird plastic shiny stuff all over the jerseys. Like, they have it going from the NFL logos on the collar up the neck of the NFL jerseys from last year. The Ravens, the Baltimore Ravens, they completely did away with that on their new jerseys, taking that design away. But they have fake laces on all the jerseys for the Olympics, and it's this weird crosshatch of just plastic, shiny
stuff. It looks terrible.
I was lucky enough to be at the Team USA unveiling for their jersey, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, but you've prepped me already that we're going to have a debate here about the about the Team USA jerseys.
Yeah, we are.
I will say I do like the blue jerseys of the U.S. I do like them. I do like the plastic stars on the shoulders. I think that's kind of cool, the way the light hits them. You only see them at certain times. The fake laces around the collar, terrible. Just, I don't know why they want to do that. And I was really opposed to the USA crest, the shield that they were using, until I went on to Reddit yesterday and I looked up the Olympics, and apparently that shield logo is what the US used from the 1930s through the 50s for the Olympics. Now, I didn't know that at all, so I understand why they're doing it, because they kind of want to be a throwback to the 30s through the 50s era, and I like that, but at the same time, it kind of reminds me of a K-Swiss logo. I would have preferred the blue jersey. I do want to keep the stars, but I would have liked the giant USA across the chest. I don't know. What are your thoughts? I think you were just going to be like, throw them all out. They're terrible.
They suck. No, the white looks just ridiculous. I think it could, you know, it could work as like a soccer or European football jersey, but the white one's just ugly. And the stars, this is so not hockey talk, but whatever. The star, they're awful. I just think they all look silly. The Russian one, the red's not bad. I don't even know what to say about the other one. The other one's, it's going to be so confusing on the ice. I don't know what Nike's doing. The blue one's not bad. If you got rid of the silly stars and add actual laces, maybe they're trying to save money a little bit by putting whatever the hell that is. The blue one's not bad, but I think – I can't remember who it was put it out on Twitter. It might have been – I'm blanking on his name at the moment. But someone put it out on Twitter that – the Nike and the U.S. hockey team and those sort of things, they've never really taken advantage of the 1980 jerseys and coming back with that sort of a design. That's what I would love to see. I would love to see them redo that design again for a more modern look for the NHL, for U.S. hockey. I think that would actually be really cool. But I you know, last was it 2010, I went out and I got myself a Ryan Miller USA jersey, which was really cool. I am not planning on doing the same this go around.
Okay, all right. They gave us a chance at the unveiling of the jersey that we could purchase them online through the special website.
Don't do it.
I don't know.
The blue, you did, didn't you?
I didn't. No, I didn't buy it. It's $130 for a replica. I didn't do that yet.
That's terrible.
Yeah. I like the stars. I don't know why, because they look weird, but I don't know why I like them. Maybe it's just because they're so different. But
they look like stickers that were put on.
Yeah, they do. But I don't know why I like it. After reading about the crest, I like the crest, but just looking at it first, I want to see a giant USA on the guy's chest when they're on the ice. Like, I don't want,
yes.
I don't want to see these, this tiny, cause the thing's small. Like the shield is really small on the jersey. I would like to have seen something really big that says USA. Like, you can be very proud of to wear like that, but I don't know. I like the dark blue. The jerseys get a very, minor pass for me. But those fake lace things, man, they just got to go. Yeah. Another thing that Nike is doing with jerseys, and I think they're doing it with the other teams as well, is they're putting little gold medals like inside the jersey. Or I'd like Russia has what is it, 8 stars? Isn't that for their gold medals? I think that's for their gold medals, like to symbolize their past wins. But for the U.S. jersey, it says like "Land of the Free, Home of the Brave" on the inside neck. Who is going to see that? Why is that an important part of the jersey if you're hiding it on the inside of the jersey? No one's going to see it.
I don't know. Nike people are crazy.
Yeah, I don't get it, but.
I mean, it's sort of a thing that the fans can see it. Maybe when the players are putting on the jersey, they can sort of see it and be like, oh, it's going to get me fired up. You're like, no, I think playing in the Olympics will get you fired up. You don't really need that extra message. But, you know, teach their own whatever. The jerseys suck anyway, so it doesn't matter.
John Carlson was on hand for the USA camp. He was able to show some people around Arlington since that's, you know, his home rink now. He showed off his jersey. There is some talk, though, that a lot of people don't think he's going to make it. It seems as if the way it is around the entire – everybody's different teams is they're going to take into factor everything up until, I think, January for this season of the NHL to see who qualifies for the actual team. We also, for the Capitals at least, we have Holtby, Green, and Alzner all vying for spots on Team Canada. TSN has none of those guys making it. So we'll see what happens with these guys. I would like to see someone besides Ovechkin from the Capitals kind of repping their country at the Olympics, just because I think it would be great for a Canadian, you know, to be on the team from the Capitals. And even though Holtby's kind of a long shot because he's so young and everything, apparently he at least impressed them enough to even be invited to the Team Canada tryout. So I think that's good for him.
Yeah, I mean, I think Ovechkin, Backstrom, Johansson, if he's still here, those guys will definitely have a shot at playing for their teams. And then, you know, it'll be interesting to see Neuwirth for the Czech Republic and Iret. I think if Carlson and Alzner I think has less of a shot. I think Carlson has a shot, but to some extent, a lot of these guys were invited to the USA camp just to sort of experience it, because in, what is it, 2018, like Carlson will likely be playing unless his career suddenly goes kaput. Knock on wood, that doesn't happen. But, you know, there's a very good chance that he'll be playing in 2018. I think he has a shot. I think he and Alzner have a shot, but they have to have a great start to the season. And I think a couple other guys have to have really crappy starts to the season. So we'll see what happens going forward. But I really don't – I think Carlson has a shot. Alzner probably not so much.
Yeah, I can't wait to see who makes the teams. I hope some of the guys do. I think Carlson would do pretty well in the Olympics. So I'm excited to see who makes it there. But besides just showing off the jerseys at the Team USA public day of the camp, they did something cool where if you bought the tickets, you got a scarf, you got a puck, you got a flag, and you got to meet two players. I got to meet two guys from the Detroit Red Wings. So that was nice. And the thing that was really amazing was they had the Wounded Warriors Foundation there, and they actually played a hockey game. And it was, I will say this, it was pretty inspiring to see these guys who, a lot of them didn't have legs. Maybe one or two of them had a leg or had their legs up to their knees, and that was it. But they have these sled things that they sit on, and it looks like a blade, like where underneath where you would sit, and then this kind of hook thing where your legs kind of were straight out to kind of guide you around. And then it was kind of amazing. They had these two miniature hockey sticks, and they would, like, it looked like they were paddling on the ice, and they would dig it into the ice to kind of go forward. And whoever, you know, who had the most arm strength could do it over and over again really fast. Number three on the white team, I mean, he got down that ice like there was no problem. I mean, he was just going. And after they were done paddling, they would get to the puck, and they'd kind of like flip the stick over, and they would hit the puck and try to get into the goal like every other hockey team. And I will say this, I mean, it was very inspirational to see these guys and everything that they've been through enjoying hockey and doing what they're doing. But when they first came on the ice, they're like, here's your Wounded Warriors. Everyone stood up, everyone applauded, which was amazing. But in my head, I was just kind of like, oh my God, look at these guys, look what they've been through. This is terrible. I can't believe that they have to go through life like this. And then they started playing, and I'm like, oh my God, these guys, I mean, I couldn't even skate at all on this ice, and these guys are going, you know, at full speed, going into the boards, hitting each other. I mean, just because they lost a leg or maybe both legs or whatever, it didn't slow these guys down at all. I give them all the credit in the world for showing off what they can do, because even though they do have this disability now against them, they're still competitive. They're still on the ice. They still want to play. And they looked at, I mean, it was a full on game. They had people cheering and everything. It was such an amazing sight. And I can't give enough credit to the Wounded Warriors besides their service and everything. Just that alone is inspirational, but to have them on the ice playing a game like that, even more inspiration from these guys. So all the credit goes in the world to them. Thank you. If any of you guys are listening to this, thank you for your service to this country. Thank you for the game, just to entertain the people there. It was an amazing sight.
Yeah, I think doing those kind of things with teams, that really is fantastic for those kind of guys to be able to get out there and be able to play. Especially in front of fans.
Yeah, it really was an amazing thing to see. So Team USA, they put on a really nice showcase for everyone to see. It was a great event. Hopefully they can do something, you know, they can bring a gold medal home and show it off to everybody at Kettler, maybe after the Olympics. So it should be pretty fun coming up in February. Anything else that we missed that we should cover?
No, I think we pretty much covered everything after having a month without recording.
That's true. It's almost been a month, so I better go through everything to make sure everyone knows how to contact us correctly, because they might have forgotten. It's a good.
That's always possible.
It's a good segue right there, right?
Indeed.
All right. Well, of course, if you want to talk some puck in between shows, get ready for training camp, you can talk to Coach Dan or I on Twitter. We're both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. You can follow the show at WTP_podcast. And Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTPCoachDan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website dedicated to the Washington Capitals. Actually, a new article come out today, I believe, about Marcus Johansson and what the team could end up doing with him now with Grabowski on the team. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash, you can like us over there. That way, whenever we have something new coming out on the Brando Cash Network, you'll know about it, whether it be this show or any of the other shows that we have coming out of the pipeline this year. We got plenty of stuff going on. Baltimore Ravens football is back, and we're going to talk about that on the call. So make sure you like the Brando Cash Network so you can get new information about all the shows that we're doing. Make sure you like What the Puck on Facebook, Facebook.com/ WTP Podcast, two P's in that web address. You can like us there. We just posted up some pictures from yesterday's Team USA event. We talked a little bit, let you know whenever there's a new show coming out, any kind of news that might break in the next month or two for What the Puck, make sure you're liking us over there. Now, thank you so much for listening to the show. I don't know how you're listening to us. There's a million ways you can do it. Easiest thing for you to do if you have an iOS device or if you use iTunes in any way, go to the iTunes store. We're there. Search What the Puck Podcast. Click on What the Puck and then click subscribe. That way, whenever we do a new show, you'll get it downloaded automatically straight into your iTunes. You don't have to do a thing. It just shows up right there. If you have an iOS device like an iPad, an iPod Touch, an iPhone, you can get the podcast app. It's completely free. And you can go into their store, search What the Puck, and click subscribe. Whenever a new show comes out, as long as you're subscribed on the app, you will get it downloaded straight to your device. You don't even have to hook it up to your computer anymore. How cool is that? If you are on Android, or if you have a Kindle or a Google Nexus or a Galaxy S4, anything that runs the Android market, all you got to do is go to the Google Play Store and you can download the Stitcher Radio app. Stitcher Radio is completely for free as well. It's streaming internet radio. We're on there. Set us as one of your favorite stations. And whenever a new show comes out, it'll get streamed straight to your device. There's also a Chrome. If you use the Google Chrome, there is a shortcut that you can download from the web store for Stitcher. And you just click on that, find us, and set us as your favorite. And you can hear What the Puck on the road. When you're cutting the grass, when you're working out, when you're doing anything, that's the best thing about podcasts. It's whenever you want to listen to it. If you're at work and you're bored and you just can't wait for some puck, make sure you go to whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. That's where you get the shows on your desktop, and that is where all our shows are archived as well. So if you miss puck so much and you want to listen to maybe some locked out episodes or whatever, you can find them on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Now that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Make sure you stay tuned with us. We're going to be doing these shows a little bit more frequently because training camp is not that far away. We're almost in September. So until then, we'll talk to you soon.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.